Welcome back to Time to Change. My name is Chasen Forehand.
And I am Dr. Melissa, and I am so excited to be back for this season of Time to Change.
When you pour into people, what happens? It strengthens the bottom line. It allows people to shine. It gives them the ability to put food on the table, to take care of themselves and their families. It allows them to have a rippling effect. And that goes beyond the boardroom, goes beyond the walls of your organization, out into families, out into communities. It's powerful. And that's what these conversations in Time to Change are all about. The power of pouring into people.
You know what gets me really revved about this? Our guests. We have the coolest people from all over. And did you know that Time to Change is ranked number 47 in the top 100 nonprofit all-time chart? I mean, come on, what's not to get excited about? The other thing I get excited about is my co-host, because Chasen is the man. And between the two of us, we get to dig in with some of the coolest people on this planet. Oh yeah, and we're number 34 in the top 100 management monthly charts too. I mean, what's not to like?
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Time to Change. I'm Chasen Forehand.
And I'm Dr. Melissa.
Incredible guest that we have today. But before we tell you about this bearded wonder, my brother with the great beard below me, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. Our Time to Change podcast is powered by Mayono. Our buddies, Guiding Brilliant Writers Publishing, Nick and Jai Galindo, Do Better Consulting, that's Desiree Goldie, HR Consultations, that's my fractional buddies, our merch page, Tisha and Ginger. Yeah. And without any further ado, want to give it up for Hans Weigelt. He is a psychedelic guide at Mind Bloom and the transformational coach at Numorphosis LLC. Man, I didn't think I was going to be able to get all of those out. Give it up, everybody. Yay.
Thank you so much, Chasen, for having me today on your podcast. I'm really
absolutely
honored to be
here,
brother. Excited about our conversation.
Well, I'm excited for you to be here. And the first thing, we're going to talk about some personal things. I know we want to get into your breath work and talk about a lot of things that you do. But the first thing that I want to kind of go through is you have lived in 50 countries.
I wouldn't say I've lived in 50 countries. I've been in 50 countries.
You've been in 50 countries.
I've lived in four different countries.
Gotcha.
I think traveling taught me a lot about the world, and I really enjoy it. It's one of my passions.
Talk a little bit about how you feel like that travel. What was that? Was that travel just bit for more for expanding your mind and your horizons and the things that you wanted to see in the world, or did it have to do with anything else?
I think first it was just vacation, traveling to different spots for vacation. And then during college, I had the opportunity to live in Indonesia for 6 months as part of my studies. Ooh. And that's what really ignited the passion of traveling. And I think that really created some change inside of me and made me much more open to the world and to different ways of living and different ways of seeing the world.
Oh. Wow. Well, I love that. I'm curious, because you say breath work as a transformation and catalyst for change. So I'd love for you to talk about the work that you're doing and then why you feel like it's such a catalyst.
Yeah, so about 4 years ago, I became a breathwork facilitator. And for me, it was a catalyst for change going through the breathwork facilitation training. But what really changed me was my first breathwork experience about 7 years ago, which really induced this incredible state of mind that can be compared to psychedelic experiences. And it just completely changed the way I look at the world and at myself, and made me really curious about consciousness and about human potential.
Wow. Well, I actually have a question, because I was a French horn player for a long time, you know, when you're playing the big brass instrument. And I used to joke, people would ask me what I did for a living, and I'd say, well, I breathe, because that's, when you're playing something like that, that's really the essence of what it is.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested in knowing what the difference is between actual breath work, you know, as opposed to something like that, where, yeah, I'm doing a lot of breathing and it's super heavy and intense, but it's definitely different. I'd like to hear it in your words.
So the breath work that I facilitate, it, you do a conscious connected breath. It's a deep diaphragmatic breathing without a breath between the in and the out breath. Some people call it controlled hyperventilation. And I think the difference is that you do it intentionally, accompanied with music, and it changes your consciousness. It changes, first of all, the difference is the breathing that you describe, you do it with the purpose of playing an instrument, but the breathwork that I do, the main purpose is to get out of the mind and get deeper access of the subconscious mind. And I think that's where the biggest difference lies, the intention and the goal.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because I was definitely super focused and there was a big goal going on. So that would be very different than trying using it to make more of a deep dive on yourself, you know? So and go ahead. Well, just, I was reading too, it said that you'd been in your family business for like 15 years before you came to this. So you really made a quick pivot to be able to pursue this.
You know, I was in the family business for 15 years and I had a good position. I was leading 150 people. I was making a fair amount of money. You would say on the outside, I looked like I have everything most people can dream of. I looked perfect. But on the inside, I felt completely empty. I felt hollow. And I was trying to fill that void with making more money, with possessions. And you mentioned traveling earlier. At some point, traveling turned into an escape mechanism. I was running away from myself and from this life. And a result of this internal emptiness, this disconnection from myself, I developed an 8 years severe opiate addiction, which created a lot of anxiety and depression and made my life miserable.
Yeah.
And I really found deep healing through breath work, and that's why it became very easy for me to make that transition.
How long have you been clean?
It'll be 10 years in September.
That's fantastic, man.
Yeah.
Well, bravo for you.
Congratulations.
It's not an easy journey and it's not, it's constant work, because once you are an addict, you're, the addictive personality just wants to gravitate onto something else. I'm making the assumption that the breath work has helped you focus some of that outlying tension that being an addict creates and move it in a positive way towards something that actually helps you versus taking away from you.
Right. On the one hand, it helped me to create an empowering habit versus a self-destructive habit. And it really, as I mentioned earlier, opened my mind to different ways of thinking and seeing the world. And I think the best thing, what it did for my addiction and my past, it helped me find gratitude for that experience. Before breathwork, I was constantly regretting my experience. I was filled with shame and guilt, which actually enforced that behavior. But when breathwork suddenly showed me gratitude because it got me to where I am in life, the substances lost all the power they had over me. I was giving them the power by blaming them, by making them responsible for how I was feeling. But when breathwork helped me to claim power or reclaim my power and control over myself, the substances, the grip they hold in, lost all their grip.
Talk about that, dive into that a little bit more. How does, you know, because there's going to be people in the audience that have never been to a breathwork session. They have no idea what we're talking about. And obviously we're going to have all of your links and everything so people can connect with you and they can get in one of your classes or come to an event. But what I would love for you to do is dive in how that helps and what's that process look like so that people understand. Because as an addict outside, if I didn't know, if I didn't have a basis before I met you and over the last couple of years, I've just been more in tune with doing somatic practices and doing more work on breathing. But before that, probably 3+ years ago and on before, all of that seemed like that's not going to be a help. I had a block in my head of like, that's not going to help. I breathe all the time. What is that going to do to help me? So I think that for myself, that I've come a long way in seeing what these practices can actually do to help us. But tell the audience, dive in more about how this really helped you and how it starts to help other people.
Yeah.
Yes. A lot of people say, what can you do with breath? I breathe all the time. How can you teach me how to breathe? So how it helped me? Well, going back to your podcast, it's time for change, right? As an addict, every time when the depression and anxiety was getting worse, I was saying, I need to stop this behavior. And then the next thing I told myself, not today, I don't feel good enough. I'll stop tomorrow when I feel better. And then I realized the only time to change is now. As long as you wait for tomorrow, it's never going to happen. I was going through the cycle for many, many years. Tomorrow, I will change. And I realized it's not going to happen. My first breathwork session, I remember I was breathing. It is a very deep, intense breathing. And I was breathing for 2 or 3 minutes. And the last thought I couldn't remember is, I cannot keep up this breathing. It's too much. And with 1 second to the other, my mind shut off. My body kept breathing. I became aware of the breathing, but there was no more thought. I spent an hour in silence, just aware of the music and my breathing. And when I came back out, I realized that all these lies I've been telling myself, all these stories are made by my mind, and breathwork can help me get out of my mind. And when I managed to get out of my mind, I realized the past doesn't define me and doesn't have hold me back. And I do not have to be afraid of the future if I stay in the present moment. And then I realized now is the time to change.
I love that. Yeah, I think that you have to get to a place. Most addicts or most people have to get to a place where they absolutely hit the proverbial brick wall before they decide they're going to change. And it sounds like you got to a place where you were tired of that procrastination and those lies that you were telling yourself and the drugs having power over your life, and you created the means to get out of it and to have that catalyst for change as you talked about. So, wow, I love that story and I appreciate you sharing it with us. I think it's important for people to do whatever is best for them to get to the place where they have healing. Talk a little bit about how the breath work in effect starts to work. Like what's the grounding techniques? What's the mindset and the way that you set everything up so that people get into a state of consciousness to where you can help them move past some of the things that they're trying to eliminate from their life?
Yeah, I think the number one thing that is really important about breathwork, that it doesn't come, that it comes from the inside. You cannot try to convince someone to breathwork. Say, hey, look, this worked for you. You really need to try this. This is going to help you. And then the people are going to start putting up resistance. Unless the impulse comes from within, people will not get the most benefit out of it because they will be resisting. Then the second one is to create safety and trust. When people feel safe and trust the facilitator and the environment, they are much more able to open up and let go of anything that holds them back. And I say to breathwork, there's always three pillars. There's preparation, becoming clear of intentions of you want to change your, what you want to change and why you doing this work, why you're curious about it. Then there's the breathwork session itself. And at last, there's integration. And all three pillars are just as important, because without integration, all what remains is a memory of the experience. But with integration, you can create lasting changes. And then when you approach the breathwork session itself, another very important thing is to approach it with childlike curiosity and just being open to the experience and being willing to let come up whatever wants to come up in the breathwork session.
I remember you telling us in the last session that we did with the Outliers, the outlier project, for those people that are listening in that don't know what that is. And you mentioned that, you know, people may scream, people may make different noises, etc. Also, people may cry, that it may bring up, you know, all kinds of different emotions. And is that because that's lying in our subconscious and that's coming out because we're doing the breath work? Where are these things coming from that are creating that that emotion or that outburst in a positive way that's coming out of us?
So when you start breathing in this different breathing rhythm, you start inhaling more oxygen than you usually do and exhaling more CO2 than you usually do. And through this changed ratio of gases, first of all, the blood starts turning alkaline. And as a result of that, there is less activity in the prefrontal cortex, or the part of the brain that creates the image of the self. And when there's less activity, we have the opportunity to get deeper access to our subconscious mind. And a lot of reasons why people struggle in life is because of suppressed emotions, unconscious experiences from the past, and they are all stored in the nervous system or in the implicit memory. And when we get into the subconscious mind during the breathwork session, they can come to a surface. And then people might start releasing them in the form of emotions, crying, laughing, screaming out of fear, anger, even sweating, or is a part of release of things stored in the nervous system.
So when you talk about suppression of emotions, I mean, are you also talking like suppression of memories, as in things could come up that maybe people had forgotten or purposely forgotten over the years? Or is it more just, you know, the compartmentalizing of emotion that just finally finds a way out?
You know, the experience in breathwork is really, there's unlimited experiences. For some people, it's suppressed emotions. For some people, it's suppressed memories. I've heard from several people who relived past events from their childhood trauma that came up, either that they didn't remember or that they consciously suppressed. But when these memories came up in the breathwork session, and they felt safe and protected, they started seeing their past from a different angle, which helped them change their relationship with the past and therefore helped them release the memory from preventing them living in the present moment.
Wow. Because I noticed that you had said on LinkedIn that you can break free from addiction, fear, and emotional suppression so you can lead with presence, purpose, and clarity. So you're actually taking these ideas and bringing them to people in leadership positions, right?
Yes.
Oh.
Is there any difference in how you approach it? Or is it still just kind of the same framework and it just happens to be with that group of people?
The process is very different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the philosophies is, in breathwork, we talk about connecting with the inner healer, and that the inner healer brings up whatever we need in this moment in order to heal our psyche. So although the process is the same for everybody, what comes up is very different.
So what made you decide to work with leaders? Is there a reason why you chose that group, or it just kind of happened, or?
One reason is because I used to be in a similar position. I was leading 150 people, and at the same time, I was severely abusing opiate painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe leaders, they have the financial means to support their habits, and they also have the means to hide their habits, because as I was a functional addict. And I also read several articles that about 11.4% of executives in the United States are diagnosed with an addictive disorder, which makes them the highest risk group from any groups. And the most important reason is they have a huge influence on a lot of people. And I think that's what makes it so powerful, because when they change, they start affecting the people they work with, or helping the people they work with. They have such a huge influence on their employees with how they show up in the world.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. I work with leaders too, and they figure that the 11.4 diagnosed could be closer to 25 or 30 if you start figuring in the people that are undiagnosed, because leadership burnout's at about 35%. So That's why I was curious about why you chose that group in particular, because the statistics show that it could be considerably higher than most.
Yes, that's probably a lot of people who would never admit their behavior, or there's a dark number. I agree.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, what's on the horizon for you? What do you have going on that will hit in April or May? What do you have going on that will hit in April or May of this year?
Right now, I'm working mostly one-on-one with people. Eventually, I see myself holding group breathwork sessions and then doing one-on-one coaching, because there's something powerful in group breathwork sessions. Both are powerful. There's cons and pros for one-on-one and for group. But that's what I envision myself with, working with bigger groups, because we can all learn from each other, and getting people with similar struggles and challenges in a one room and experience this healing modality can really amplify the benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, kudos to you, man. And I love the work that you're doing. I appreciate the fact that you're keeping it real with folks, and you're sharing your story, but you're also allowing people to understand that there's other ways that they can go to free themselves, and that they don't have to live in that, those shackles of shame and doubt and fear. There, you had a post where you had, I mean, it's a, like 20 items of things that you freed yourself from by doing this work. So it's absolutely incredible. And I appreciate very much you being on the show. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for telling people about the breath work. Thank you for telling us about your travels and some of the things that you have going on. And we appreciate you being on the show, man.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me and for your encouraging questions. One last thing I want to mention. It was really easy for me to stop using substances, but staying sober is a whole nother challenge. I stopped using drugs 50 times over 8 years, but
yeah,
staying, making it sustainable and long-term, I think that is where breathwork becomes really helpful, because as you mentioned, it helps in so many areas of your life that changes everything.
Yeah, having something that you're working on that takes you away from the that shackle is amazing. So thank you, brother. Thank you for sharing all this, and thank you for being on Time to Change. I appreciate it.
Yep, I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. You have been on Time to Change. I'm Chasen Forehand.
And I'm still Dr. Melissa.
And she's still Dr. Melissa. Well, thank you so much for being here, buddy. We'll talk to you guys next time on Time to Change.